Father, we thank you for every young heart in this house today. We thank you that their hearts are towards you, Lord. Their mind is full of you. Their feet follow you, Lord, and their hands serve you. I thank you today that you will bless them, direct them, encourage them, Lord, and strengthen them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed for Sunday school. If you are new here, you can meet the teachers in the back and they will take you to your classes. We have classes from infant to through 12th grade. So if you would like to join them back there, amen. Sweet presence in the house this morning. I don't know, there's just something about when we begin to exalt the name of Jesus that begins to shift atmospheres, begins to shift our focus, begins to shift our heart. Things begin to shift. Amen. Where we said last week, where you stare, you steer. So where your eyes are focused is where your feet are going to follow most of the time. So it's very important as to what we focus on. It's very important what we hear, what we allow to enter into the gates. I mean, you know, our eyes and our mouth and our ears, and they are gates that we allow to be filled with something. Amen. And so it's very important where we focus, it's very important what we speak, and it's very important what we hear, what we ponder. I'm going to talk about a couple different things today. I've just got some random thoughts, and hopefully I can pull it all together. But how many know there is power in the ponder? Yes. The scripture says that Mary pondered all of these things in her heart. In other words, it was not just an occurrence, but she knew that it was something bigger, that she had any idea of what it was, and her focus, she chose to have her focus remain on what God was doing, and she pondered. See, there's a difference in worry and ponder. See, my mind goes 100 miles an hour, but as to what I allow it to be filled full of makes a big difference, right? And so what I have to do quite often is to allow my mind to ponder or meditate or linger on what the Word says, what the presence of the Lord is doing. Do you know that when we're in the house of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord begins to move, there is a lingering of that presence? And it takes a song or two sometimes to get us moved out of one realm into another realm. Do you know that's why we do worship first? Because sometimes it takes us a moment to leave at the door everything we brought with us and to shift our focus till we begin to say, I'm going to exalt you, Lord. I'm going to exalt you above every thought, every worry, every sickness, every despair, every bit of encouragement. I'm going to begin to lift up and exalt the name of Jesus over that. Yeah. You know, sometimes when we don't even know what to pray, aren't you thankful that the scripture says that the Spirit itself begins to make intercessions for you with groanings and utterings that we don't even understand. But in the realm of when I don't have the strength myself to know even what to speak, the Spirit knows what to speak over me. That He speaks over you and He speaks through you and He speaks to you. And there's sometimes that in our busy life and maybe even in this season or this part of the year where we slow ourselves long enough to ponder what God is saying in this season. How many can say the best time for you to hear from the Lord is when you're usually by yourself, outside of church, but by yourself? Lord does a whole lot of speaking to me in my car, right? He does a whole lot of speaking to me in the lawnmower. And it's not time to mow the lawn yet, so I gotta spend a lot of time in my car. So I gotta go to, like, you know, shopping or something. And tell my husband I'm out doing the Lord's work. Saving him money on a bargain somewhere. Right? And, you know, even at our time, we joke about this, and you all know this too. Sometimes the best time for Dan and I to have just conversation is in the truck on the way to Lowe's. Amen. Right? God loves Lowe's. I love Lowe's. He'll say, "Hun, you want to go to Lowe's?" I do, especially if you take me to dinner. We can go to Lowe's. It's a perfect date night. He's happy, I'm happy, it's all good. Let me know, sometimes we don't take the time to ponder, we don't take the time to linger, even in conversation with each other. We can get so caught up and so involved in, you know, life and all that life has to bring that we don't take the time to communicate, we don't take the time to listen. I mean, most of the time when we are listening to respond, not listening to hear. You're already thinking about what you're going to say back to that person who's talking with you, right? And sometimes it's okay in the presence of the Lord to just sit and ponder, to say, "Lord, I'm just going to sit quietly before you today and I'm just going to listen." Do you ever make a commitment when you say, "Oh, I'm going to pray for an hour today"? Man, you might as well run a treadmill. Because your mind makes it about 10 minutes, right? Before we start going off on different trails and thoughts. And to be able to rein our thoughts in and to ponder and to meditate. It's why the scripture tells us so often to meditate and think on these things. Philippians tells us, think on these things. What things? Whatsoever things are good. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever thing of honor. Whatsoever things are of virtue. If there be any praise, think on these things. Put your focus there and to hear him. I want to talk, we talked about Mary Elizabeth in the Christmas story, and I love to preach of Mary and Elizabeth. Amen. What a powerful connection. The power of connection with Mary and Elizabeth. The power of a salutation. Has anybody ever said something to you and it just made something come alive in you, or just made a light bulb come on? We understand how powerful words are. In the other instance, somebody can say something to you and flip your world upside down in a moment, even in negativity, if we allow it. So our salutation is important. How we respond to people is important, right? And so the connection that God gave them and the confirmation that when Mary began to ponder and she began to hear things from the Lord too incredible for her to even believe, he said, "And also your cousin Elizabeth, she's great with child." And so God connected her to somebody that could speak a word in a season that would cause her baby to leap. Amen. It is important to hear the salutation of the Lord that makes something inside of you come alive again. There's sometimes that the scripture can be spoken, and I know for myself, I can hear a scripture 100 times, and somebody will say it in a different inflection in their voice, and I'm like, "Oh my goodness, that just came alive in a whole nother realm for me." Do you know that that is the power of the Holy Spirit making things come alive to you? And so often we hear a scripture and it goes through our mind, but then there's a moment where God takes that scripture and says, "That one's for you for right now, for this season." And it's that that begins to make your baby leap and begins to make that thing which God has placed in you begin to grow and begin to come alive. Amen. And so we know, you know, I often think about, you know, the power of childbirth and that power of the salutation, all of that that God did. But do you know that the first people that God spoke to when he got ready to do what he was about to do? I'm going to read Galatians. Go ahead and bring Galatians up for me if you can. And then I'm going to go from there. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. How many know your children are not in charge of your house? Thus saith the Lord. As long as he is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. How many know we need fathers? We need to be fathered. Even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness, everybody say fullness, of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that he might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, or Papa, God, Papa, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more servants, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through Christ himself. Hey, do we have any sons in here today? Now, I'm talking gender neutral. I'm not talking about boys and girls thing. How many know we're all sons, and we're all the bride of Christ, right? So when we read that, he said, when the fullness of time had come. Somebody say, it's time. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those who were under the law. How many know this is not plan B? It was the fullness of time. It was the completion of all that God had set in place from the beginning of time, that in the beginning, he was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. But now it's time to manifest Christ in the earth. And as beautiful the story of Mary and Elizabeth is, do you know they're not the first ones that God spoke to? Hello, men. We have some men in the house today. How many know he came to Zechariah before he came to Elizabeth? He began to speak to Joseph. And he said, Joseph, don't be afraid. Do you know that that statement, don't be afraid or be of good courage, is in the Bible over 365 times? That's one for every day. Be encouraged, be of good courage, don't be afraid, fear not. Do you know that every character in the story of the scriptures, God said to them, fear not. Because if fear is where you stare, fear is where you will steer. If you focus on all the reasons why God can't, you're going to miss all the reasons why he can. And so he begins to speak to them and he begins to say to them, I'm going to do something in you and you're not going to understand it at the moment. But if you can trust me, if you can believe. You sang it this morning. He said it, but can I believe it? Can I put my faith in action to receive and reach out and grasp everything that God is speaking in this season? If it makes sense, yeah. If it's not out of the realm of possibility, yeah. But what if it's bigger than that? What if it's bigger than that? In Matthew chapter 1, sometimes you have to filter what you hear by the intent of the one who is speaking it. Filter what you hear through the intent of the person saying it. Do you know that people will say a whole lot of things to you with good intentions that's not true of you or where God wants to take you? And if you're not careful, they can talk you right out of your miracle or talk you right out of your vision. And a lot of it would make sense. But how many are thankful God is above our sensibility? There's things He does in my life that doesn't even make sense. And it catches me off guard. And it's always for the better. And God spoke to me. I told you this back a couple years ago. One of the times that I felt God vividly speak to me. You know, most we don't hear an audible voice. But there's times where it just comes in and lands. And you're like, oh, that's God speaking. And I was coming back on a cross-country trip. And God said to me, we're getting ready to do the theme for camp, that be brave. I'm not real brave. I'm the worst ever at playing hide and seek. My kids, my grandpig kids, we bought presents. We bought electronics. We brought gifts. They played hide and go seek. They hid in boxes. Am I the only one? I could have just said, hey, y'all get to play hide and go seek this week. Merry Christmas. Right? Because sometimes we think the big things are going to be the big things, and sometimes it's the little things that are the big things, right? And so I was the worst ever at hide and go seek, because once I got out there in the dark, I didn't know what was around me or under me, and I'm the first one running for home base because I'm a big chicken, right? And so fear will dictate what you do. And so God begins to speak. He has to speak to me like that. But on that trip back, I felt the Lord audibly say to me, your dreams aren't big enough. And it caught me off guard, because I thought, I think I'm a pretty good dreamer. I got some pretty good dreams. Amen. He said, your dreams aren't big enough. And I could go through the list and tell you, even in that span of time of about 5 years, the things God brought to pass that I had no idea that He could do. And so when I say to you the power of a dream and the power of a ponder, don't you ever let anybody steal the seed of God or the dream that God would put in your heart. Because the only thing that falls short of not achieving your dreams is never dreaming. Come on, somebody. You say, well, man, I had some really big dreams and I didn't quite attain to it. Well, the only thing worse than that is not having a dream at all. I want to die with dreams still in my heart. Come on, somebody. I heard somebody say one time, I want to die empty. I've given everything out, and I understand that, but I want to die with dreams still in my heart. I want to die with hope still in my life. I want to die with things that are still yet to be accomplished, that I get to the end and say, well, I didn't get to that one. Somebody else maybe will. Come on, we got to have something in our heart that when God brings us to a level, that the next level is there and available to say, what, just like a kid at Christmas, say, what's next, Lord? Papa God, what do you got in store for me? Abba, Father. And so we need mentors, and we need tutors, and we need fathers, and we need men that will stand up and be who God has called them in the house, that when God begins to speak, even concerning the house or the children or whatever, they say, Lord, here am I. Let your word come to pass as you have spoken it. And so in Matthew 1:18, it says, now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, they were engaged. It was the same as being married, but yet the time had not fully come to consummate the marriage. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was going to put her away privately. The means that he even had the understanding put her away privately shows us the character of who Joseph was. Because he had the right to publicly shame her if he wanted to. But being a just man, I believe there's some just men in the house today. You might say, I'm just a man. But you are a just man that God has placed his thoughts, his dreams, and his desire in your heart. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel. Now listen, he's pondering while he thought on these things. What things is he thinking about? Her having a child. How's this going to work? I should put her away privately. How are we going to make this happen? How is this not going to be a public disgrace? How can I move on from this? Where's his focus? And while he's pondering, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, and he reminds him who he is, thou son of David. Him being a just man, knowing the lineage he was from, knowing the stock that he came from. He was of the seed of Abraham. He was a son of David. Joseph, remember who you are, son. You are the son of David. And the promise is to your lineage. It's to your children and your children's children. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which thing is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The power of the spoken word. The angel comes to Joseph and begins to say to him, Joseph, thou son of David. First of all, son, you got to remember who you are. You got to remember the promises, because see, David, by Joseph, by being from the lineage of David, he would have known the prophecies. He would have known the word. He would have known the scrolls. And so why sometimes we think, man, this probably really caught Joseph off guard, yet there was precedent. Amen. There was prophetic word. There was what God had already put into place before he ever put it in his heart. I want to tell you this morning that before God will ever put the dream in your heart, he will put the provision and he will put the resources there to make happen. Everything that he promised is available to you. Come on, he did not need Joseph to do it. He needed Joseph to respond. He said, I need a man to raise a son that'll know who he is, who will teach him how to be what I have called him to be. I need a father who will teach Jesus how to operate in a man's suit. Come on, somebody. He was very God and he was very man. And so he begins to speak to Joseph, and he said, don't be afraid, for that thing which I am doing in Mary is of the Holy Ghost. And there ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. Come on, somebody. When the Holy Ghost begins to do a work inside of you, you understand that this is something bigger than me. There's something stronger than me. There's something wiser than me that's in operation. Aren't you thankful for that today? Hallelujah. And I look at the story of Mary and Elizabeth, and I look at the story of Zechariah and Joseph, and I wonder sometimes if it didn't take more faith for Joseph and Zechariah to step up to the plate than it did for Mary and Elizabeth. What do you mean by that, Pastor? It's one thing to feel it on the inside working. It's another thing to just have a spoken word that you got to begin to trust God and say, I don't see it, I don't feel it, but I believe it. And if God said it, then he will bring it to pass. Because once you feel something stirring inside of you, you know there's something going on. Come on, ladies. You can talk me out of it till about 4 or 5 months. But once there begins to be growth taking place, and movement, and the flutter of a baby, you can't talk me out of it anymore. You cannot be just a little bit pregnant. And there is no change in your mind halfway. Because what God has begun, when He has begun a good work in you, He will perform it unto the day of Christ. You know what gives me confidence about that? He will perform it. I'm not a performer. I'm a recipient of what He has placed inside of me. And when I have the confidence and the faith to believe, He will perform that which He has spoken. But He needed some just men to be involved. Some men who would stand up and say, this is in the natural what I should do. But I've been pondering. I've been lingering in the presence. And I'm a dreamer. Do we have any dreamers in the house today? Come on, somebody. I hope you got dreams in your heart. I hope your dreams are so big they scare you. Because there's sometimes you have got to trust something bigger than yourself, or you will settle for nothing. And you will be content and get comfortable where you are. You know, comfortable can be a good thing or a bad thing. I like comfortable. I like stretchy pants. But they will lie to you. Let me just tell you that. When I walk in the door, we get in the door at night, my recliner just calls my name because I like comfortable. But if I want to get anything done at my house, I got to rebuke that recliner and I got to go do what I need to do before I sit down and get comfortable. We as in the body of Christ cannot come to a place where we are satisfied to settle for where we are. God is calling us up higher. He has such beautiful things in store for us. If we will stand up and say, I don't care what it looks like around me. I don't care what other people are saying. I don't care what they're saying I should do about my house and my wife and my family, because I've heard from heaven. And no longer am I going to let the earthly dominate what happens in my relationship. I'm going to let God take the wheel. Amen? And I'm going to let God speak above and beyond what seems like logic. Any logical people in here today? It's hard to step away from what seems logical. Right? And when they were departed, Matthew chapter 2, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked by the wise men, was exceeding wroth. But said worth, exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under. How many know when God began to move the child Jesus, He spoke to Joseph? Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't speak to the men, or I'm not saying in that sense. What I want you to say is you are the matriarch and the patriarch of your house. You are kings and priests of your house. And when you can be joined together in confidence of what God is speaking and obey the word of the Lord. And God appeared to Joseph, and Joseph said to Mary, we need to pack because we're going to Egypt. Because for protection's sake, how many know it is your responsibility as men and women of the house to nurture and care for and protect the seed of God that He has given you. It's not going to make you popular. It's not going to make you the favorite. But I promise you, it will get better. How many know your children are under tutors and governess and governors. Raise your hand, tutors, governors, fathers, men. And if it was easy, anybody could do it. But he began to speak to Joseph concerning the call of God for his family. He began to speak to Mary concerning the call of God for their family. One of the most important things you will ever do in your life is to teach your children the ways of the Lord. Amen. The more you teach them to hear God's voice, the less they'll have to hear yours. The more you teach them to hear God's voice, the less they'll need to hear yours. Now, we're tutors and we're governors and we walk them through and we share the things with them and we share dreams. But how many know he began to speak through Joseph in his dreams? How many know there was another dreamer once named Joseph? And he was despised and rejected from his brethren. And when it looked like he had landed himself in the pit of the prison, he began to dream again. And I don't care where your journey has taken you from, the mistake that Joseph made, if it was a mistake, is that he shared his dreams and vision with people who did not share his heart. Who you allow speak into your life matters. What it did was provoke jealousy from them and they sold him out. But God brought him full circle and made him ruler over his people to the point that he saved the seed of Abraham because he was willing to dream when nobody else understood the dream. He was willing to be what God had called him to be, and he was a dreamer. On down in that same chapter, it says, but when Herod was dead, somebody in here say, Herod's dead. It's time to come back home. Come on, it's time to come back home. Those who have been tyrants over our babies, I declare today, are dead. And it is time for the sons and daughters to come back home to the place that God has called them and to be raised in the house of the Lord to be who God has called them to be. I mean, God has the ability to silence a Herod. Those things that would be enemies of the calling of God on your children's life must be put to death. Must be silenced that God would raise up a generation of who he had called them to be. On down in the scripture says, and when he was being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might fulfill scripture, he shall be called a Nazarene. I mean, there's times in our life that God will do things, it's not what I wanted, but it's what I needed. I mean, in raising your children sometimes, it's not what they want, but it's what they need. And the ability to trust the process, to ponder, to say, God, what are you doing? What are you stirring? What are you putting into place? I just see God sometimes like a chessboard, moving pawns into place over here, up there. And you think, God, I have no idea what you're doing. It's okay, because you don't see the big picture, but I'm moving and I'm putting things into place, strategically moving us into the place that he would have us to be. Hallelujah. Don't let anything ever steal your ability to dream. In 1 Corinthians 4:15, it says, though we have many instructors, we have not many fathers. I mean, there's a difference in an instructor and a father. All of us need a father, our heavenly father. And the people that God put in our place to be voices to us that we could trust, that could speak into our life. The fathers and mothers in my life over the years of generation who have encouraged me. Who have spoken to my life in seasons that I remember sharing my heart with a bishop one time, and I said, I don't even know, you know, I know things are shifting and I don't know how to navigate the word. And I feel like I should just not say nothing until I know that I've got it all figured out. And he said to me, he said, preach what you know till you know more, and then preach more. And I went back to that many times thinking, I know I don't know all the answers, but I know a few. And I know the one who has the answer. And I'm so thankful for the grace of God to give us space to grow and learn and be tutored and taught and loved on, even when we don't have it all together. Aren't you glad that God will connect you to people that can speak a word in your life in due season? And you're like, that's what I've been waiting on. That's what I've been waiting on. But he's raising up, I believe, fathers, not just in the natural and physically, but I believe that too. I believe there's a call of the men in the house to be who God has called you to do in this next season. And I believe we're going to see some of that where we begin to stand up and speak the word of the Lord. Joseph would have known the scriptures that they began to speak in that the woman is going to bruise the head of the serpent. He would have known Isaiah 7. He would have known that a virgin should conceive and bear a son. He might have known all the scriptures, but how many know knowing the scriptures and being able to interpret and facilitate them is not always the same thing? Being able to know the word, but then being able to receive it and say, that's the word for me. In Zechariah's obedience, he birthed John, right? Elizabeth had a son named John. And when they brought him to the temple and they're going to dedicate him, and Zechariah, you know, he's still silenced right now. He's not even able to talk because when the angel spoke to him, he said, because you did not believe, you're not going to be able to speak until the time comes. How many know there are some times in our life where God silences us so that our unbelief does not talk us out of the promise that he's given? And I believe that he was silencing the last of an old order priesthood that was speaking and declaring under the Mosaic law that he was about to bring forth a son named John. And if you know anything about the name John, it means grace. And when Zechariah began to pronounce grace, his mouth was open, and a priesthood for the first time ever began to declare a word of grace in the house of the Lord, that there is one who will come who will prepare the way of the Lord. Get ready, get ready, get ready, because the Messiah is on his way, and I am declaring a word of grace today that he's going to stand up and make the way of the Lord straight. And when everybody wants to call him Zechariah Jr., you're going to stand up and say he's not after an old priesthood, but his name has been set in the heavens. His name shall be called John, and grace shall be the message that John will declare in this day. Yeah. Oh, but Zechariah, we don't do it that way. There's nobody in your family named John. God doesn't call people to the ministry who grew up on Rotten Row. Oh, yes, he does. You might think you're not a candidate for what God wants to do. He's like, that's what people say. That's what people want to call you. But I no longer am letting somebody else name my baby of what God wants to birth and do inside of me. If God calls it John, I'm going to call it John. If God calls it grace, I'm going to call it grace, because God has opened my mouth to speak his word. And Zechariah began to sing the song of the Lord because God was causing a shift. Because the fullness of time had come. Somebody say, it's time. It's time. The fullness of time has come, and God is birthing grace in this season. And he's using some men to stand up and declare what he's spoken in the house. How many know Zechariah found himself in the holy place? Just him and an angel pondering. Come on, somebody, you got to find yourself in the holy place where your focus is on the table of showbread, it's on the altar of incense and worship, and it's on the candlelight. And the reflection in that room was pure gold. When you begin to reflect what God is saying in a season, grace is birthed. And mouths of the priest are being opened to declare a word. Grace, grace. Hallelujah. I mean, no, conversation precedes consummation. I want to say that again. Conversation precedes consummation. How many know most time it's thought spoken before it's ever acted on? Our conversation with him precedes our consummation of what he wants to birth in us. Amen. Amen. How many know it was scandalous? In the eyes of people, the relationship of Mary and Joseph was scandalous. But in the eyes of God, it was divine. It was divine. I want to say to some of you today, your dreams aren't big enough. If your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough. If you sit here today and say, I'm too old to dream, you need to get some dreams in your heart. Dream big. Find somebody else who's a dreamer. But we need to begin to dream again. And we begin need, and in that dream, there is a pondering where we just sit before the Lord and say, Lord, I know there's something big and there's something powerful coming forth. The power of the ponder today. God, what are you saying in my life? I guarantee you, every one of you in here today under the sound of my voice have a calling of God on your life. Yeah. Don't put God in a box thinking, well, it must look like this. Because I can almost promise you that it doesn't. When worry and doubt and fear become the voice that you hear, ponder. Ponder. And begin to listen. Because when Joseph was pondering, thinking, an angel began to talk. We need to begin to have an ear that hears what the Spirit says to the church. That challenges in our growth, challenges in our callings, challenges in our homes. I want to challenge homes today. The home of the family is the birthplace of what God wants to do in the earth. You know that I spent many years in public school. People say, what's the issue with public school? My interpretation, number one problem, breakdown of family. When families begin to work together for the growth and the education of their children, we'll see a turnaround. Not everybody has that. That's why he's placed you. That's why he's placed you in the lives of people and children. You say, Lord, I don't know what you called me to do. He called you to love on them kids that are unlovable, right? He's called you to be faithful in your house. He's called you to be faithful in your giving, to think outside the box, even in your giving. Say, God, I'm going to challenge myself even in the next year of my giving, because I'm going to sow some seed. I'm going to sow some seed into this next year of knowing that God's going to take that seed and birth something big, a harvest out of what He's declared. Go ahead and stand with me this morning. And I need to tell some of you this morning, it's time to dream. It's time to be obedient. It's time to disregard man's opinion. It's time to hear from God for yourself. It's time to witness God's miraculous plan. And it's time to support each other in the calling that God has placed on us. Hallelujah. While Beth sings, I just want us to linger for a moment. I want us to just be in the presence of the Lord. Just you and Jesus. Just begin to search your heart today. And let Him speak to you. And as He speaks, if there's something that you need an Elizabeth or Mary to join with you, if you need a Zechariah or a Joseph to join with you in the faith to believe, we would love to do that this morning. We're here to pray with you, pray over you, whatever it is your need. But I just want you to, you and just your heart today, speak to the Lord. Say, here am I, Lord. Choose me.
Okay, come on.
Praise the Lord. reach out and get some big dreams, okay?
Amen.
Get some big dreams.